Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Welcome to the show, Straight Talk, episode number 11, the SBA loan process. Who do I talk to first? You've got Jim Jarvis, your host, along with me, Han Tran, my co-host. Are you there, Han?
Yes, good evening, Jim.
Excellent.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Today we also have, this evening, a very special guest. With us, joining us, is a premier SBA lending institution, one of the largest in the nation, senior loan officer with Live Oak Bank, in Wilmington, North Carolina. We have Mr. Mike Montgomery. Welcome, Mike. Are you there?
Jim, Han, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mike.
Well, this is a really, we are so glad because, well, we all got together quite a while ago back over in Chicago and did a seminar which was a full day thing with a whole bunch of other folks, and it was just like this natural fit of what Mike and his team have been doing and what we do and how we so similarly dovetail together. Our processes are so similar, and we've been so excited about ever since then having the opportunity to have you on the show. Live Oak, for those that don't really know about or have heard about, is a specialty lending institution, and you guys specialize in the dental lending business since, 2010, isn't it, Mike?
Correct. So, Jim, we actually received an accolade 2 weeks ago. We've been in business since 2008 as a bank, but have been lending in the dental realm since 2010. And as of last week, we became the number one SBA lender in the country of all banks. So we're honored to have helped so many folks and looking forward to helping our listeners.
Fantastic. If I remember right during your presentation, didn't you say it's over 1,000-plus projects and somewhere north of $1.4 billion worth of lending?
Correct. So in our dental space, we've got just over 1,000 clients now currently in portfolio that we help service and manage our folks as they need any kind of help. The actual figure to date is about $1.7 billion in construction loans to dentists. So we've been doing it, you know, only about 8 years, but have had quite a bit of exposure and have actually lent in all 50 states.
Wow, that's fantastic. And obviously during, you know, those last periods, those have not been the greatest of times when it comes to construction and it comes to building of dental offices. The economy's been pretty crappy up until just lately. And during that time, you guys have done that much. I mean, that's just a phenomenal thing to really say, to be that and be able to achieve that. Well, with that, I'd like you to talk a little bit about your process. I know you guys have this cool little thing on your website that talks about your path to construction of dental practice. And but I'd like everybody to really get a real understanding about what really happens and how you guys like to integrate when a doctor really comes to the decision that, hey, I need to do something. What do I do next?
Absolutely. Great question, Jim. For those of you that aren't aware of Live Oak, and I should go ahead and preface, my apologies. I usually am not on the radio. As you can tell, I don't hang out with Jim and Tron every day. I'm located down here in North Carolina, and usually people say I need subtitles, but seeing how we're on the radio tonight, we might need Jim and Han just to translate for me if needed. But we'll see what we can do here.
You'll be in big trouble with my accent.
Live Oak is very different from most banks in the sense that we use a lot of technology. We are completely branchless. So most people probably right now are thinking, Live Oak Bank, who is that? I drive around and I've never seen their branch on the street corners. We actually don't have branches. So we actually have a small team of experts, including myself, and we travel quite a bit. In fact, my wife is a dental CPA, and she understands that I'm often on the road. She understands the nature of the industry, but we travel all over the country in different territories and see all of our doctors. And it's important to us that we formulate that relationship with them. So just like you guys do, Jim, I know you guys travel and like to see your doctors up front. That's what we're always looking to do. You know, we understand the industry because that's all we do, but we also want to understand our clients individually and understand their actual vision for expansion. We're doing a number of different things. Most of it is expansion, but we can also help with startup construction. There's oftentimes that we see dentists that are acquiring a practice and need to do some build out for that. But our specialty is typically in the ground up construction space, as well as purchasing real estate and being able to do the upfit for that to fit the client's needs. An interesting approach that we use is one, we're not commission salespeople like most dentists are used to with their bankers. We all have equity in the company, and so we feel like our interests are equally aligned with our clients. Their vision for success is right there where we want it to be, and we want to ensure that that happens to them. So when we have a conversation with a doctor, our goal is to understand exactly what they need for growth. And through that, we can do a cash flow analysis where we work backwards with them to formulate a budget that is within their cash flow to ensure that they can repay the loan and that they're going to be comfortable and be able to be successful. That's kind of how we start. We build a team with them and make sure they have all the components of a working team. That goes to include folks like yourself as an architect, a general contractor that's qualified to do dentistry, a CPA that can help with the financials, and also a space finder as well as the bank. And it's been our experience that if we can help formulate that budget on the front end to help them move forward with the project and they have the right team in place, then they're going to be successful.
And you just actually outlined one of our episodes that we had out in the beginning where we talked about team building and that the core essence of the team is really the folks you talked about, with the exception of we add into that the dental equipment supplier.
Absolutely. And we include that as well. The equipment and technology portion of it is so important. You know, it's important to have the space and have the building, but without the equipment and the technology, then the revenue is not going to grow.
Absolutely. And like you said, that it's so important that what you're talking about is really, it could be a renovation of an existing facility that the doctor owns. It could be a new build on a vacant piece of property that he or she is building from the ground up. It could be a expansion to a facility that the doctor owns, but you deal with things that the doctor owns and not really deal with things where the doctor rents a facility. Is that correct?
Correct. So in our eyes, I believe that every dentist that wants to own real estate can do so. You alluded earlier that, we got into the industry during a recession, and not every doctor had a 20% down payment to make a purchase. We look at things a little bit differently on the lending standpoint. Typically and traditionally, when looking at lending, a lot of banks look at asset-based lending, meaning if you've got the collateral, they'll lend the money because they have something to fall back on. We look at it differently and look at it from a cash flow approach that for every dollar you have, if you've got some that can go out and handle the debt, you still have money left over to cover other expenses, then we're comfortable. So, you know, to us, the assets are nice, but that's only covering the bank if something happens. We're in it for the long haul and want to ensure the success. So in looking at cash flow and revenue trends and profit margin and credit scores and the character of the doctor, we can actually get comfortable with lending, a certain amount of money where we can be pretty flexible with down payments. I mean, we've done projects where we've been able to lend money without a doctor coming out of pocket whatsoever for a down payment because they've got such strong cash flow. And so that's how we kind of look at that. That's why we've been able to help with real estate so much, as well as ground up construction. It's a very difficult project to do, as you guys know. You guys do all the planning for that on the front end, but financing can be difficult, and it can be difficult on the dentist, and we found a way to make that easy. So there's a lot of great banks out there that we recommend if someone wants to lease space. We're not a one-size-fits-all. There's recommendations I would make if someone wanted to do something else like a lease outfit. But when it comes to real estate ownership, we can certainly help with that. And we've got the data to show that, you know, owning is going to help your portfolio. And when you do retire, you can have that passive income, or you can couple that and have a nice windfall at retirement. You can, as you're a dentist and continuing to practice, you can have space in your building that you can lease, and you can be a landlord as well. So there's plenty of great benefits as well as tax benefits to owning the real estate.
And you guys do all that, which we talked about in one of our other previous episodes about whether to lease or to own. And one of those big benefits is the ability that you have, if you in fact do own, is you have the potential of expanding into property that you already have. You have the opportunity to rent and maybe get some income that comes in to help crack that nut on a month-to-month basis. There's just so many other benefits, and you alluded to those. One of the things that was really exciting when we talked about you in your presentation was the 100% lending program that you have, where you have the potential to even finance soft costs. We talked about soft costs in one of our previous episodes and what those all were, but you guys are unique in that, aren't you?
Absolutely. And again, it's not a one size fits all. It's amazing the different scenarios that we can work with you as long as cash flow allows. For example, I was in New York last week speaking with an oral surgeon that's looking to expand, and he's got a couple options on the table. We're currently looking at the cash flow analysis and waiting on some financials from him, but he's looking at either purchasing a building or doing the ground up. And as I told him, we can do all of it. We can do some of it. Sometimes the cash flow is there that maybe Live Oak can do the land purchase. And this example, I'm talking about a ground up construction where you're buying the land. We can finance the land and then help with constructing the shell of the building. And maybe a partner bank that can provide a conventional loan can do the interior upfit and provide all the equipment and things like that. And that kind of gives you the best of both worlds as long as cash flow is there. You can get the purchase without having to put down 20% if you don't have it. And then and get the construction done, and then utilize the conventional for a little bit lower interest rate and a little bit shorter term to do the rest. Now, there's other times that you might be a dentist that's only been working a couple of years. You're reinvesting profit into the building, into the practice. You're paying down student loan debt. You don't have a down payment, and maybe cash flow is a little bit tight. We can do that SBA 7A loan on a 25-year term and put everything on that one loan for you to give you the best cash flow possible. So we can do the land purchase, the shell build-out cost, the interior cost, the equipment, the working capital. And as you mentioned, Jim, we can also finance all the soft cost of the project, that being permitting, engineering, architecture fees, things of that nature that usually add up to about 10% of what the hard construction cost is. A lot of folks ask for that on the front end, and people have to come out of pocket, but we're able to help finance that into the project as well for folks that don't necessarily have the funds to release on the front end.
Well, that is really unique, and we felt that was something that was extraordinary, and definitely wanted to get that out to the dental public that happens to be listening to our show, because there's an opportunity there that most people maybe don't exist. This SBA loan process is typically everybody hears that word and is like, oh, that's a long, scary, painful kind of process. Well, you guys specialize in that.
Right.
You make that not a long, scary process, don't you?
Correct. So there's a couple misconceptions about SBA lending, and I'll see if I can debunk a few myths that we often hear. First off, there's two types of SBA loans. There's something called a 504 loan, and then there's something called a 7A loan. Live Oak only provides 7A lending to our dentist, and we do that for a number of reasons. That we can include everything I just mentioned, all of the soft costs and the equipment and things like that if we need to under one loan. The 7A loan is exactly one loan, where a 504 loan, you have to have a 10% down payment, and then you actually have two loans, one SBA and one conventional, so you've got more paperwork. You also have a longer prepayment penalty, meaning you cannot pay off or refinance or pay down the loan up to a certain amount in a given time. You've got a little bit more flexibility with the 7A. And then one of the most important that we're seeing now is appraisal flexibility. The 7A loan program offers a little bit more flexibility, and that's where we can really come into play. So as I mentioned, the 7A loan is what we utilize. There's a negative connotation about SBA because traditionally, and all an SBA loan is a guarantee by the U.S. government. There's about a 3% fee involved in the loan. And just like a conventional loan, you have an origination fee. Typically, it's going to be less than the 3%. But what that 3% guarantee does is it insures the loan against any kind of risk. So if in the event that a loan was to default, the government guarantees 75% of that loan. So in the past, especially before 2008, you saw a lot of banks originating these loans because they had a government guarantee on them to protect them against risk, and then they would actually sell them, and they wouldn't even service them anymore. So they could originate a little bit riskier loans, have the insurance on it, and then not even keep it on their books. So that's kind of how it got a negative reputation. Live Oak's a little bit different. We do have the guarantee, but like I said, we're not commissioned. We actually service all of our loans. So we have an advisory group in-house that works hand-in-hand with our dentists. We actually believe it or not, collect financials on a quarterly basis from the dentists and their CPAs, and we can come back and provide some progress reports. We can show the cash flow and things like that. So we are very much involved in the process, and it is our responsibility to ensure that these loans are repaid. It's important to us, and we have one of the lower default rates in the country because of that. And so, yeah, SBA is going to be a little bit more expensive on fees, but it's going to provide some of that flexibility. Like I mentioned earlier, you've got some appraisal flexibility. You've got the down payment flexibility, and you've got a little bit longer term for when projects are tighter on cash flow, which we're seeing more often now just because of the way the economy is and the price of construction these days.
It has gone up.
What I missed.
Mike, I have two questions, Mike. Just want to clarify. You're saying that Live Oaks will service the loan for the life of the loan?
So we, yes, absolutely. We service the loan for life. We do not sell them. We service them until the dentist decides to refinance. And
great.
What I typically will tell our doctors out there that are in a super growth mode that don't want that may not have a down payment, but may not want to pay a higher rate, higher fee. Typically, we're seeing our dentists are with us on average 5 or 6 years. The minimum with a prepayment is 3 years. And typically after that, they are at the point where they've got some equity in the practice and the business. They've now matured because they've been able to go in a bigger space and continue to grow. And now they're in a position that they can go into a conventional financing route. That's when they refinance and actually are no longer serviced by us. And they basically go on to the next step of financing where they can get a little bit lower rate. Because I kind of consider Live Oak to be kind of a stepping stone for some of our folks out there that are looking to grow but may not be able to achieve that through conventional financing at the time they come to us.
And you don't discourage that. You actually encourage that opportunity because it gives an opportunity for a bunch of doctors who may not be able to even start to move forward without that.
Absolutely. It's just another option. And, again, this is something that we vet. All of us vet this with our doctors on the front end. It's important to us that even though you may not have the cash, you do need to have the cash flow in order to pay back all your debts and have the reason to expand. If you're in a four-op office, but you're only doing $15,000 a month per operatory, and you come to tell me that you want to do a 10-operatory ground-up construction, it probably won't make sense. But if right. you're doing $40,000 per op per month and you've got, you know, 50 new patients a month that can't be seen by the doctor or hygiene because you just don't have the space, then absolutely we need to do something to help you guys continue to grow the practice. And that doesn't mean we're going to put the cart before the horse because you don't have cash. You've got the cash flow, and if you have the cash flow, we're going to get you in the spot to continue to be successful.
On what was the other question?
The other question is often I've dealt with construction companies that say they won't touch a project unless it's at a certain minimum amount for construction costs. In working with dentists, is there a point where you say the loan is too small to take on?
That's a great question, Han. You know, for us, because we're dealing with real estate, usually the minimum's about $500,000. And that's total project. That's not just construction. We're
okay.
looking at purchase plus improvements plus equipment, minimum of $500,000. And we can go up through the SBA up to $5 million. And sometimes if the cash flow is there and more money is needed, we can look at other ways to help our folks. But typically it's about a $500,000 to $5 million, with probably our average project right around a $2 million loan amount.
You know, $5 million for a dentist's office is, we like those kind of projects.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's a nice size facility.
Yeah, the Eastline project was 4.7, and that was a 10,000 square foot.
Yeah, that's a nice size facility. Well, Mike,
yes,
one of the things that obviously, you know, we do is we like to work initially in our process and our step-by-step processes that we get a conceptual idea of what the doctor wants to do, so that folks like yourself and your team members, like your group of integrated contractors, can actually get a pretty good estimate as to what the cost might be on that new facility, so that we can start to make decisions on how we move forward. Can you talk a little bit about your pre-approved contractor database, if you want to call it?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, we've got over 1,000 dentists in our portfolio. A lot of those dentists have used different contractors, and some of them have used the same contractors. Well, dating back to 2010, from the first project we ever did, we have data in every city and every region that we've done a loan, and can basically track it from if it was a leasehold build out to a finish out of an existing building or a ground up. We can go back and look and see what each contractor cost per square foot on each of those types of builds in different areas. And obviously for us right now, the data that we have in the past 18 months is much more important, because we've seen an uptick in construction costs. So if Dr. Smith, for example, in North Carolina, is to come to Live Oak and tells us that they're looking to do an 8-operatory facility ground up, we know that they can't do it for $200 a square foot. And that $200 a square foot, I'm including your shell costs, your interior improvements, and all the soft costs, like site work and things like that. We're looking in 2018 now at least $250, if not $300. And so what we can do is look at all of our data, look at the contractors that we've worked with, and determine exactly how much it's going to cost within a very close variance of what your project is going to be based on the amount of operatories. Because we know with the amount of operatories that you need, we know about what the square footage is going to be, and then we can work backwards and figure out your costs from there, and basically work from a maximum budget all the way back to how much you need in equipment and things like that. But when we look at this from the contractor, we have been able to qualify a number of contractors across the country that we consider to be our preferred contractors. So a lot of folks will come to us with a contractor in mind that they want to have work on their project. They may or may not be on our list. If they are on Live Oak's list, it's a very simple process where we update some financials. Because the contractor is going to be just like the borrower. The bank does vet them from a financial standpoint, because we want to make sure that the contractor can cover the cost of construction while they're waiting for a bank draw. We also want to vet the contractor to make sure that they are well vetted in dental construction. And we're not going to have them just give us a couple of projects because they're going to cherry pick. We're going to look at their last 3 or 4 projects to ensure that they're doing what they say they're doing, to make sure that they're working in your best interest as well. So just like we love working with HJT because we've seen their work in the past, they often, too, are looking for the right contractor in different areas, and we can all work together to help you, our client, find the right person.
So that's a vetting. Process that really helps out and minimizes the situation that has happened before where the contractor bites off more than they can chew, ends up not being able to finish the project, and you get one of those horror stories where the doctor is stuck halfway or three quarters of the way through a project without a contractor because they either disappeared with belly up or really weren't able to perform. And so then it starts costing everybody time and money. And we all know that if the schedule's not hit, every month that you miss that schedule is a lot of money that that doctor lost and he'll never get back.
A tremendous amount. And that's why we also will ensure that we have the contractor vetted prior to closing on the land and closing on the loan. So we ensure that you as the dentist are not going to have anything go bump in the night. We'll build a contingency in our budget for you. Just in case there are cost overruns, because sometimes there are some variable costs that do increase that nobody can really account for in the beginning, such as site work. But we do things like an environmental study to make sure there's no contamination that needs to be excavated. We do a number of things to prevent you, the dentist, from having to pay more money down the road. And doing that due diligence to protect you is going to help with the project, come in budget and finish on time, which is most important.
Yeah, it is. Go ahead, Hon.
In vetting the contractor, is that a practice that that you do throughout on every loan, on every project?
Yeah. So, you know, what we'll do, we actually have a construction specialist that works within the bank. And I know, Jim, you met Blair Bunting, one of our specialists a couple months back when we came up and saw you in Ohio. I think you stumbled upon us on one of our construction webinars, kind of about avoiding pitfalls and things like that. We have a construction specialist in-house that's going to work with you and hold your hand the whole way, because we understand that as a dentist, you're running your own business, and this is a scary thing. This is most likely the first time you're doing a project like this. So we have somebody that works on your behalf and works with the contractor, and they are going to not only vet that contractor, but work with the contractor. And every time the contractor finishes a draw during the process, they're going to submit that draw to the construction specialist, and we're going to make sure that work's been done before it's paid. So we have a lot of checks and balances, not only vetting the contractor on the front end, but making sure the work has been completed and it's quality work during the process before they get paid. Does that answer your question, Hon?
Yes. Can I follow up with another one? This is that the construction specialist, is that unique to Live Oak, or is that a industry common practice?
You know, I think, you know, every bank has a different way of handling and managing the construction process. But at least at Live Oak, we have a dedicated team member that only does dental, and they might be working on about a dozen projects at once. So they actually form a relationship with the dentist, and they formulate a relationship with the contractor. And at the end of the day, we are really representing the dentist, but we can really help out and control some of the costs and some of the questions the contractor might have. Some banks on smaller projects, I know some of these loans, once they close, is access to the dentist is a line of credit, and it might be a little bit tougher to manage. In this case, our loan is a multi-disbursement loan. So, for example, say you have a $1 million loan, your land is $100,000, and the loan closes, and you're buying the land. You owe $100,000 on the land right now and only pay interest on that $100,000. The other $900,000 is being managed by the construction specialist, and that money is not released until the work is done. So for a building that is waiting to be built, you're not going to be paying $1 million on it from day one. It's going to accrue over time until that building is complete, and the construction specialist is going to manage the disbursements and handle that for you as the doctor. So it is fairly unique in that sense that they're going to help manage the project and manage the money and make it available as needed instead of having a lump sum on day one.
Yeah, Mike, the reason I asked that question about the specialist, you know, construction specialist is that it was unique for us. When we're involved in project where clients have financing through other institutions, you have an account executive, and they're from my experience with them, their interest in is getting the loan, get it signed, get it dispersed as quickly as possible, and there's no check and balance. There isn't anybody that are there to make sure that they represent the client or the dentist's interest in how much money is being dispersed, and it's dispersed based on the amount of work rather than simply a number on a pay app. So it's unique. And that I have not seen with other financial institutions. So kudos to you guys.
And not to discredit the other banks out there, but I'm definitely biased towards our specialists. I mean, they form a real relationship with our clients, and they know exactly what's going on with the project and with the doctor in their lives during that time. So, where some places, if you have a question, you might have to call 1-800 number, or like you said, you call the lender, and after the loan's closed, they're moving on to something else. You have somebody in front of you at all times, and maybe there has been some construction delays, or maybe not. Maybe your interest-only period is up, but something else has happened that you as the dentist aren't ready to start making full principal and interest payments. You can call someone like a Blair and let them know exactly what's going on. And because you have that relationship with your bank, we can often lengthen that interest-only period. So we are there for you, and it's amazing. I see Blair and all our other folks every day, and they're texting with their dentist. They've got their cell phone numbers, they've got their email, and they're not just a 9-to-5 group over there. The bank as a whole is, if you even need something on the weekend. I was texting with one of my folks out in the Nashville, Tennessee area who is closing on the ground up project next week. He was actually texting me over the weekend. So we really care about our folks and are always going to be there for them. So you're right. It is very unique.
Well, that's why we get along so well, Mike. We eat, sleep, and drink this stuff, don't we?
That's right. That's right.
Now, speaking of that, you actually have a team that represents the whole country. So you're not flying all over the whole country trying to deal with all 1,000-plus projects that have gone on. Is that correct, isn't it?
Correct. So there are four folks that do what I do. I work on the front end and help help on the vision calls and create the budget and work on the front end and help build the team. I work primarily from the Carolinas all the way up to New England. So I work in about a 16-state area and then have three partners that cover the rest of the country. But we're happy to go anywhere. Jim, you're up there in Ohio. Han, you're down there in Florida. Even though I primarily work in the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast, I've come out to see you guys as well. So the relationships are important. In regards to everything else, I've got a partner that basically quarterbacks the project with our dentist and sees it through to the end. We have an underwriter, several underwriters, but in each project, you as a dentist will see myself, my partner, an underwriter that's going to help your loan get approved, and then a closer that's going to help with the non-construction information to get that closed, and then
the construction specialist. So there's a team of people within the bank that are going to help. And, you know, our construction specialist, again, not only works with the general contractor, but they're going to work with the architect and the designer and other folks like that. And then when you're actually in your building, you're going to have that relationship manager through our advisory group for the life of the loan. So there's always going to be somebody there to help. And even though, you know, I'm not an expert on the construction side, if you can't reach a Blair for some reason one day, I'm always available as well. So the team is always there for them.
Well, we had a question that come through on the email before the show that asked the question, how long does this SBA loan process take? And can you just discuss a little bit about that?
Happy to. So it all depends on how far in the process you are in designing your building, having that vision. Let's pretend that they've already met you and Han, Jim, and you guys have talked about the project. You guys, they know what their budget is, and you're ready to move forward, and y'all have done some drawings and are ready to bid the project to a general contractor. When I first meet with our dentist and have that vision call, we will send out a preliminary application to do the cash flow analysis just to make sure the budget that they have in place matches what their cash flow allows. And within about 48 hours, we can actually pre-approve them. You know, we're looking at basically a 3 years business tax returns, 3 years personal returns, a business debt schedule that's showing the business debt and the breakdown of those payments, a personal financial statement that allows us to pull credit and see what those personal debt obligations are, as well as see their assets and their liabilities. And doing that, we can, and after having that vision call and learning exactly what they need, again, we can have a proposal out to them in 48 hours. That proposal basically has a breakdown of the budget. And if they have that team in place and they're ready to move, we can have them in underwriting the next day and approved in 2 weeks. And then the due diligence period starts. The bank's going to do several things. We're going to work with you on setting up your entities. If you're owning real estate, you're going to have a holding company that your operating company, also the practice, is going to be paying rent to. We're going to help you get all that set up and put in file. We're going to get your insurances squared away. Meanwhile, the construction specialist is going to get all the information from HJT, and we'll make sure that there's some bids or a preliminary budget from the contractor. And then we'll order two different appraisals. One is the as-is appraisal. That is based off what is the land or the building worth today prior to the construction. And then the as complete, based on the plans, what is that going to be worth after construction's complete? We do that. We do some title work. We do an environmental to make sure there's no issues on the land itself. And typically, all that can be done while we're waiting for the appraisal. The appraisal takes the longest, usually about 30 days. Once that is back and reviewed, we need about 10 days to close. So, you know, call it 40 days in closing, another 10 to get approved, and another couple days on the front end. So we can have this done in less than 2 months. Now, there's other cases that the vision's there, but you don't know what you can afford yet. You don't have the team in place. We can help you with all that too. And then, you know, it might be a little bit longer process, but when that's the case, I usually tell people, if you're just starting, think about that ribbon cutting ceremony 2 years from when you just start developing that vision. And of course, for us, you know, it may be that when that vision starts, you're only 6 months out from closing. But we're going to make sure it's done and done right, because this is your career, and and a place that hopefully you're going to be practicing for a long time. So we're going to work as quick as we can to get it done. We've got some processes to help streamline that, but it all starts with your vision and creating that team and going from there.
Well, that dovetails pretty nicely with what we like to establish. You know, a new project from the ground up, you start down with the initial design work just to get an idea of the costs, get an idea that we're within close to budget, then start the process you're talking about, get back the quote pre-approval that yes, we're on track and this is doable. We do all the design work, get all that work done and get to the point where the contractor can actually give an actual dead on cost. That's what it's going to be. Then start the permitting process and all that stuff. We like to schedule somewhere around 6 months to get to the point of being able to start construction from the day they say, hey, I'd like to do something. So during that same time, you're able to do all the stuff you can do. And so that the day that contractor's ready to go, everybody's lined up and everything is ready to go and construction can start.
Absolutely. You almost never have to wait on the bank. When the appraisals and everything else are out there, we're making sure we're completing the other checklist on due diligence. And as soon as that's back, we're ready to go with you once everything checks out. So we're not going to hold up the project whatsoever.
And then during construction, depending on when you start construction and the size of the project, it could be anywhere, it could be up to 6 months, maybe more, depending on when that is. So your two-year time period from the day you say, hey, I need to do something, to the day that you open those doors is not an unrealistic time frame. Obviously, it can go a little bit faster if everything is, moving at a clip's rate. We can get to that. But at least plan for the two-year process, and if you can get it done a little sooner, we can get it done a little sooner. So that again, I think, speaks to how we so easily dovetail with here at HJT with Live Oak and how you guys work. And it's actually a pleasure being able to do that because Han and I have had other opportunities to work with other lending institutions where it's not a pleasure. Not a pleasure at all, and actually it literally is like pulling teeth, to pun a phrase. And the lending institution is not as diligent, have done some really abnormal things, like pay the contractor a lot more than what they should have paid, and the contractor walks off the job and disappears with all the money. And that is actually a true story. That happens. And
yes, it did.
And Han knows exactly what we're talking about, so it's a very scary thing. And the follow-through that you guys have, I've been in the business for 30-plus years in my career and worked on projects all over the country with some very large lending institutions, and you guys probably have the most dedicated and sophisticated follow-up program. No other lending institution that I've worked with on a project except for one very large one, which was Mellon Bank out of Pittsburgh, when we were doing $25 million projects around the country for happened to be a health club chain. They literally had people like you talk about that would come out on a month basis and review project done to date on a project draw. That's the only other time I've ever seen that happen from a lending institution. But you guys do that on your normal projects, which is fantastic because you're protecting the dentist. We're protecting the dentist. Everybody's there to protect the dentist because they're too busy dealing with dentistry, and they don't need to worry about all these nuts and bolts stuff that have to be done to be able to make sure the project's a success.
I can add a note or two to what Jim was talking about too, is that you were talking about your team, Mike, earlier, that I find that they're very accessible, actually. We have a project going on right now that Live Oak is handling the loan, and I find that pretty much any time I can pick up the phone or send an email,
And, you know, I deal with the same person every time. And I get to respond within, you know, within the same day, usually, you know, within the hours. So it's always, it's nice to have the respond and the accessibility to, you know, to the team members on the financial side. So that, it's unusual. Okay. And it's a great thing.
Yeah, it's a very good thing. Well, we tried to pick your brain, Mike. What did we miss that you need to let the dentists out there know about before we let you go?
You know, I think you guys covered everything. It's a pleasure working with you guys, and I look forward to answering any questions that any callers have down the road. You know, I consider myself more of a coach than anything else, so anytime anybody has a question, I'm happy to assist and see how we can help. The only other thing that I might mention that we haven't covered is I mentioned earlier, you know, the cost of construction is a lot more than it used to be. And unfortunately, we're seeing out there now, there's a lot of issues on appraisal. And there, more often than not, there's going to be a shortfall on the appraisal prior to construction starting and the loan closing. And for most banks, I'd say probably 9 out of 10, that is that's going to happen in the 11th hour before closing. And when that shortfall happens, unless you as a dentist have the money to make up that shortfall after putting any other money down on the down payment, that can actually end the project for you before it got off the ground. We understand that things are more expensive right now. It might cost a little bit more than what the loan is on day one, but we also understand that over time, real estate is a good play for your portfolio. And as a dentist, as you continue to grow, you're going to see your profitability be higher. You're going to see your cash accounts be higher by owning real estate versus leasing. And we can get comfortable lending over that appraised value up to a certain degree because we know down the road it's going to appraise. So all I would say is if you ever have any issues with that, give us a call. Let us know how we can help. And we're certainly there for you and wish you all the best.
Well, that's fantastic. I know that your website at the is www.liveoakbank.com. How can our listeners who want to get a hold of you directly, how can they get a hold of you, Mike?
Sure. So I can provide my email and my cell phone number because, like I said, I'm not a 9-to-5 or I'm day and night. So call me, text me, email me. Email address, mike.montgomery. MONTGOMERY at liveoak.bank, or give me a call anytime, 919-280-9542, and be happy to take your call.
Well, Han, he's just like us. He gives us his cell phone number out over the airways. So you know he's one of the good guys.
That's right.
Well, Mike, we really, really appreciate you taking time away from your family and spending it with us this evening. Obviously, we look forward to maybe getting you back sometime here in the future to talk about some more unique aspects. But want to just say thank you so much and hope you have a really good evening. And we'll obviously be in touch on all the stuff that we've been doing. Again, thank you, Mike.
I look forward to it, gentlemen. Thanks for the partnership. And thank you all out there on the airwaves.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Take care, buddy.
Good evening. Good evening, Mike.
Good night.
Okay, Han, with that, wanted to take the last few minutes that we had for this evening to go over some of the few things we have. Obviously, next Tuesday is Election Day. So we will not be doing a call on next Tuesday. We encourage everybody to go out and vote and deal with the important things we have to as members here of the citizenry of the U.S. And do your part from that end. So that's my only political comment I'll make on the show. And then with that end, our next show is going to be November 13th. We haven't created a title for that yet. That will be going on in the next few days, and so look forward to seeing that on our website. You can catch that on www.hjtdesign.com. As always, if you need to get a hold of us or want to speak with us directly, you can email us or get us on our website, or our direct phone number is 1-866-213-1268. So with that, Han, what's hot in the topic on Dentaltown this week?
Code, Jim. Code is always hot. All right. Jump in anytime you like. The discussion often come up dealing with, code in terms of, let's say, a drinking fountain. Why do I need to have one? Or a mop stand, why do I need to have one? I often hear people say, you know, talk to your local guy, your local inspector, and, once they approve your certificate of occupancy, yank it out. What I find is, at least when I deal with code, you have three levels of code. You have the federal. It's usually not code. It's regulations and standard, and that's usually referred to the ADA or American with Disability Act. It kind of segue into the state code, but by default, it's part of the requirement, but it's not enforced by the federal government. It's policed by your local. So, and then the next one down is the state. The state established a code that govern over everything that goes on within that particular state. And then, of course, your city, your local guy. Often I heard, that the local guys is, check with your local people. They will tell you what you can get away with and what you cannot. I find that the local building official is certified to follow the state code. They, in the local level, they can make the state code more stringent, but they cannot make it easier or less stringent. So they really, they have to answer to the state. The discussion that I was involved in, Jim, was a deal with drinking fountain. And the comment was just install it and then yank it out once you get your certificate of occupancy. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to check. And I find that seems kind of weird, is that if they function with that kind of mindset, would the patient feel comfortable to know that the things that they put, that they use, that they put in their patient mouth or do treatment with, is it also high quality stuff? Do they follow certain septic protocols and sterilization protocols and so on? It's just unusual that they deal with the, they look at building codes as something that's evil, and they are forced to do it. But at the same time, in the practice of dentistry, they have a barrage of guidelines that they have to follow and have to stick to. You got your HIPAA, you got all your sterilization protocols, and you have your ADA and whatever else, and OSHA and all that stuff. I guess it's hard to convince people that code is there for not just to follow, but it's there for everybody's safety. It's not something that you negotiate. That's my two cents.
Most people don't understand the real reason behind codes. Originally, codes were created because of the governmental agencies, bureaucrats, whatever you want to call them, came up with the idea that there needed to be a standard of, call it care, but mostly it's a standard of life safety protection for public buildings and public spaces, so that there's a minimum, codes are really the minimum requirement that has to be created. Like you were saying, a local building official can make a more stringent requirement, but he can't minimize the requirement that comes from the state or the federal level. Those are the bare minimums, and it can only go more stringent or up from there. The code has to deal with 100% has to deal with the life safety issues of a facility, so that you don't have places that are, you know, proverbial death traps, that if one little fire ignites somewhere, you're going to, you know, trap everybody in the building and a lot of people are going to die. And those kind of things, which are horrible accidents. And that's happened before, back in the infancy of our country, way before codes were established, that was the norm. Then when you got the situation where buildings got to be bigger, more people were in these facilities, these codes came about as that's the bare minimum, and then they've grown from there. Yes, they can be arduous. They can add costs to the project. But again, it's a life safety issue having to do with the facility. So if you take the mindset that, okay, go ahead and put it in and then rip it out. Well, first of all, I don't understand that, because if you're going to put the cost into already putting it in and then ripping it out, it's actually cost you more, because you're putting money in that you had to pay for. And then you have to rip it out and patch whatever you ripped out. So it costs you some more money. Just why? Because you don't want to have a drinking fountain in your particular facility? The logic isn't there. Maybe you need to find a better location for it because you want to rip it out because you don't like where it's at. Well, that's an issue you have with your designer, and you got to get a better designer. But, you know, from a life safety standpoint, you don't want to take away anything from what is actually designed within your facility, because let's say you take out a life safety component that takes you below the code. Who's liable for that if there is an accident down the road? You are.
The owner. Yeah, the owner.
The owner, the person who owns that facility, is now liable. And check your policy, check your insurance policies, check your general liability policies. I can almost guarantee you that those aren't going to be covered instances, because you blatantly broke, theoretically, the law by not keeping your facility at code during that particular construction period. Now, you don't have to keep a facility up to code as the codes change. You just keep it up to code at the point of construction and what was approved at that particular point. So if down the road, a year or two years from now, they change the code a little bit and make it a little bit more stringent because of this or that, you don't have to change your building to meet that code. You just have to keep it at code within when you were built. Now, if you renovate, that's a different story. You got to go back in and potentially upgrade, those kind of things. But from a liability standpoint, you got to be really, really, really careful, because if something were to happen, and you know this society we have nowadays, everybody wants to sue everybody for everything from, you looked at me wrong. So,
I mean, it's not just from that, Jim, it's just not from the liability. I mean, it doesn't make sense, is that you spent the money, you have it installed, you are in compliant, and you decide to yank it out, patch it, and expose yourself to, you create a non-compliance condition, so that, you know, then if you get tagged, and now you have to pay to put it back in. Okay.
And you pay a fine that'll stop you with a fine and potentially shut you down. If that has happened, where they theoretically can say your building is not in compliance, and they can red tag your building and take your occupancy away from you and shut your practice down. What's it going to cost you to have your building shut down for a certain period of time, both in on that days that you're not making money and also perception to your client. Oh, my building got shut down. Now, that may seem a little crazy. It may seem a little out there, but it is theoretically possible. It could happen.
You know, I was driving, of course, down here in Florida, you get a lot of commercial for attorney services and drugs. Okay. The older population down here wants to take a lot of pharmaceutical candies. But the advertisement was pertaining to workplace safety. You know, if you're in a building, it is the responsibility of the owner to provide a safe environment. Okay, and I'm like, gosh, that's a big hurdle to jump, because where do you start? How do you keep your facility 100% safe? So with that, why would you want to make your facility less safe? It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
I mean, yeah,
get a good designer and an architect who knows what they're doing. They can put those facilities, specifically a drinking fountain, where it's not in the, in an obtrusive looking place. Satisfy your code requirements. Do the right thing. Be safe, and just move forward and focus on doing dentistry as opposed to trying to save a few bucks by not putting a drinking fountain in. That's what I say.
Yeah,
all right.
Too. That's two of us.
Yeah, with that, Han, I'd like to thank everyone having the opportunity to listen to our show this evening. Hopefully it was very informative. I know speaking with Mike, he's a really fun guy and actually has just an unbelievable wealth of knowledge. He's a good individual to tap if you're at that point and want to discuss things with him. Feel free, give him a call. It can't hurt, and you might find yourself as being the beneficiary of a lot of that great knowledge and hopefully even being able to move forward on the project. So with that, I'd like to say thank you again, and we look forward to touching base again. Again, November 13th is going to be our next show. Good night, Han.
And thank you for tuning in, listening to us. Until next time, good evening. Good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.